Call the meeting to order at 8:25 this morning. The clerk will note the roll. We don't quite have a quorum present. We're going to slowly get there, but we need to get started. We're going to try to get committee done a little bit early so we can talk to the DFL members about the ranking of the projects. Representative Dorman and the Capital Investment Committee would like to have our recommendations no later than tomorrow evening, and I can't be in town tomorrow, so what we're going to do, folks, is reconvene today at 3:15 with the actual recommendations of what we're going to do. So we're going to hear everything today. There's one bill that we're not going to get to that was for next week, and we're going to have to figure something out on what to do with that. But at this point, I think we're going to hear all the bills this morning. We'll caucus with the DFL members during committee time, and then we'll get the ranking sheets hopefully in maybe by noon or 12:30, try to get them all in. Staff can collate those, and then we can just kick back out this afternoon on what we're doing in terms of our recommendations and pass those out. So we expect to have a fairly brief meeting. This morning, the schedule is to hear individual bills that have been brought forward. The first one is Representative Bradley's bill, House File 2668, the National Volleyball Center. We have heard this project before, but we want to hear it again and get a flavor for things down in Rochester. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for giving us this opportunity to present this really important project to you and to the committee. This project, which I would characterize as a completion of a project that was started in about 1996, is part of kind of a master plan of world-class athletic venues across Minnesota. And we're fortunate enough in Rochester to have had the placement of the National Volleyball Center. It is the number one project of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. As a matter of fact, I believe it's the only project being promoted by the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, and we have several of our members who are actually co-authors on the bill who would attest to that. For the 7 years that the current venue is there in Rochester on the National Volleyball Center, it's had a huge impact. We've had 350,000 athletes and spectators attend various events there. It's meant $18 million of economic impact. And by the way, a third of that, because this, we could also probably come to the Jobs Committee, because a third of that is coming from out of state. That's the kind of economic impact that it is. They're in the folder that you have. You'll see a number of letters of support. One of the key ones you're going to have, and I'm just so delighted that the coach of the University of Minnesota, Dr. Mike Heber, is with us this morning to be able to give you a comment. So you'll see in that a USA Volleyball, a national organization, testimonials to support for this project. Although we do have, in many respects, a world-class facility right now, it is a world-class facility that is incomplete. When it was passed in 1996, it was cut back in terms of the total funding, and I'm not going to go into the details because Mr. Stewart will present to you more of the details of what actually is going to be done. But what this is trying to do in terms of playing surfaces, in terms of training rooms, in terms of lockers, in terms of fundamentals, even like bathrooms, that this facility needs to be completed. The other final message that I leave with you, and it's something that is really, I think, important, is that volleyball really is a big deal. It is now, in high school venues, the third most participated sport. 400,000 kids in high school participate in volleyball. In Minnesota, we have 14,000 young people who are involved in our USA Volleyball Junior Olympic, which leads the North Central region. I've had the chance to see it on a semi-pro level. If you've ever watched, you know that these are serious athletes that are involved in a great team sport. With that, Mr. Chair, I would like to turn it over to Dr. Mike Hebert from the University of Minnesota, and then we'll go to Chubb Stewart for sort of the details quickly of the project. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we also have Paul Erickson, so maybe we'll have you follow if you want to take over. But Dr. Hebert, if you don't mind.
Thanks very much.
Good morning, gentlemen.
First of all, thanks for the opportunity to allow me to share some thoughts with you about this project. I represent two people here. One is the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. We participated in the opening ceremonies in 1998 in Rochester. We've run camps in the facility. We annually go down to Rochester and play the border battle against University of Northern Iowa. It's a facility that has attracted our attention, and we support it fully. The other reason that I'm here is that I think as a member of USA Volleyball staff, former coach of the USA Pan American Games team, and several years on the international arena, I can also give you some comments with regard to the place of the sport nationally as we look at it today. On a personal note, in about 1983, I took a team to Europe, and we were allowed to train in the volleyball center that was called the Euro Volleyball Center. And in that center were a variety of facilities like we're talking about in Rochester. It was the first time I had personally laid eyes on a facility of that nature for our sport. I was excited about it. It encouraged me and gave me the enthusiasm to come back home and start talking up the idea of training centers like the one in Rochester. Secondly, when I was at the University of Illinois for 13 years, the reason I left that very successful program to come up here was because even though Minnesota had been 20, 30 years ago sort of a small blip on the radar screen in our sport, it has since then become one of the major hotbeds of volleyball, not just in the upper Midwest, but in the nation. And I decided to come to Minnesota as a head coach because the atmosphere for this sport is growing by leaps and bounds in this particular area. And I want to speak just for a moment about the possible interest you would have from USA Volleyball. I can tell you that our national governing body is constantly in search of training facilities for our sport. Right now we have junior programs that are looking for places to train, and they have to go to Lake Placid, or they have to go to Colorado Springs, or they have to go to some other jerry-rigged sort of a place across the face of this nation. The availability of the Rochester Training Center right now is a crown jewel as the USA Volleyball people look across the map to find out to see where they can go train. The difficulty right now with the training center is that as beautiful as it is, and I'm talking about the floors that they've done, the indirect lighting, all the things that they have done to make this thing a very high-quality facility, some of the things that were not involved in the first phase of the project are keeping the kinds of training groups that I'm talking about from going to this facility. And the completion of this project will be instrumental, I think, in increasing tremendously the amount of traffic that will go through that building in terms of training. So it's right now the University of Minnesota and the state of Minnesota are perceived as a hotbed for our sport. I think the representative Bradley just talked about the number of participants at the high school level. I can also tell you that USA Volleyball has a junior registration program nationally comprised of regions. The North Country region, of which Minnesota is a part, has the highest number of registrations than any region in the nation. We are genuinely growing by leaps and bounds. We are one of the hot sports coming up. And if this project can be completed in the fashion that's outlined here in this bill, I believe it will become even more of a quality enterprise that we'll be looking for in terms of putting teams in that location to train. So from my point of view, as a member of the Gopher staff and as a representative of USA Volleyball, I just want to lend my unconditional support to the entire proceedings.
Great, thank you. Mr. Erickson, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Paul Erickson, Executive Director of Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. I'm just going to make three points, as this project is very well known in Minnesota and at the legislature. First of all, this agency is on the top of the list for the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, and it's the only capital project that we have before the legislature. This project has earned the Amateur Sports Commission support consistently really for the last 12 years, from the original installment to the recommendation for this enhancement. Secondly, legislative support. This is a project that you as a legislature have already approved, and unfortunately, during the Ventura administration, it was vetoed. So not only has it passed the agency tests, it has already once passed both the House and Senate tests as a worthy project. And the third and final point is, U.S. legislators are often asked to invest in the unknown. That somebody comes up with an idea and says, invest in this, and we hope that it'll achieve these goals. The difference here is you're investing in success. If you look at the report that's been prepared by the Rochester Convention Visitors Bureau, this is a project that's been around since 1998. It has a progressive growth and economic impact and usage. So in contrast to investing in an unknown quantity, really your investment invests in the known and will just build upon the success that has already been established in Rochester. So again, the 3 points, it has agency support, it has already passed the test of the legislature of the past, and you're investing in the known.
Thank you. Chubb, did you want to come up and say anything?
Unless there's any questions from the committee.
Okay. Questions on the center, Representative Kahn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I've noticed looking at the project history and also thinking of some of these other ones, this match from the city of Rochester seems a little low. When we did this, it was a one-to-one match, and I wondered why this isn't being done as a one-to-one match this time.
Mr. Stewart?
Thank you. Representative Kahn, at the time that we made the original proposal following the legislation that was passed in 89, and based on the study with the U.S. Olympic Committee, which came and helped us design the program, the initial expense was $7.3 million. We came forward to the Minnesota legislature in 94 asking for $5 million, and the city of Rochester was prepared to put up $2.3 million. The legislation that passed was a $2.3 million gift from the state and $2.3 million, 100% match from the city of Rochester, which we did do. This year, we are prepared. We have a $900,000 available for in-kind and cash match from the city. We are pretty well tapped out, Representative, from contributions. We built on the college campus with support of $5 million from the state, a field house where the city of Rochester put up $11 million, better than a two-to-one match, on a college campus for a college building. We are now in the process of building on the college campus a football stadium. We've got 8,000 students at our college, University Center Rochester, with no football stadium. They play on with no lights. We bring in softball bleachers for them to play. The city of Rochester, through fundraising and through taxation, is paying 100% for that facility that will be built on our college campus, which will become a state of Minnesota asset. My point is we're tapped out. There's no way that I can sit here and look at this committee and say that we can do anything more than the $900,000 that we're prepared to add to the 3.8 that we're requesting from the state at the present time.
Well,
Representative Kahn.
You know, I guess the proposal might be not to put a time limit on it, but to put up a certain amount of funding and to have a one-to-one match and just give you whatever amount of time you need to raise the funds. But, you know, I'm just looking at the previous history of this, and I'm not sure what the history of other amateur athletic things were. I know some of them have been truly state facilities, like the big complex at national facilities, too, like the big complex at Blaine. But, I haven't supported this in the past. I guess I'm willing to support it, but I'd certainly like to see a more equal match on it.
I appreciate your comments, and I wish I could sit here and tell you that is likely to happen, but we have explored everything we possibly can with our city council, with our elected officials down there, and the $900,000 that we're prepared to contribute is, it's everything else is going to the college campus, Representative.
Well, Representative. You know, we're faced here with the funding problems this year of the You know, you're saying it's great that you have a college football stadium. The University of Minnesota doesn't have a football stadium. And so that's another problem that we're looking at this time. And I guess, and I think at that point, the university is putting up, is proposing to put up, I think, 60% or something like that. And problem I have there is that I have a lot of constituents of students who are being asked to put up a $50 fee, which I'm going to be saying something about. So I'm just not sure. I don't want to say anything about the economic base of Rochester compared to the economic base of University of Minnesota students, but it seems to me that we could look at a little bit more of a local match. So that's just my opinion.
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Okay, we're actually going to be ranking today, gentlemen, so we'll know this afternoon. Representative Conan Mullery and Finstead weren't here, but we're going to reconvene at 3:15. The Capital Investment Committee actually needs our recommendations by tomorrow. So we're going to have to figure out, like with Representative Ellison and Loeffler, what we're going to do with those. I'm going to meet with you, with the DFL members during committee time right after we try to get done early and kind of figure out what our plan will be. But we're going to have the ranking sheets handed out right during committee today. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time this
Thank
morning.
Thank you, Chair members.
Did I see Representative Vandeveer come in? I know Representative Conda, we're going to probably bump him in because you're a member of the committee, if that's okay. I don't think you're planning on going anywhere. So, it was Representative Tao I didn't see at this morning, but he told me yesterday he was planning on being here. So if somebody could, maybe if we could have the page go up and get him, because I don't know how long. Representative Vandeveer, how much time do you think you might take?
Maybe 15 minutes. Hopefully.
Okay.
If
we don't see Representative Tao in the next 6-7 minutes or so, I think we'll have the page go up and get him in his office. He saw me yesterday and said he was planning on being here sometime this morning, and I told him that we were going to do Rochester first for sure, so that we wouldn't have him first. But he's here. Okay. So we'll bump up to Representative Vandeveer and just kind of jump around on the agenda a little bit. Do we have a quorum now? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We do. Okay, now that we have a quorum, we'll formally call the committee to order. And Representative Pepin moves the minutes from yesterday. Is there any question or additions, deletions? Okay. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. We have before us House File 3291. The chair will move House File 3291. Representative Vandeveer has a Peace Officers Memorial repairs provided, and if we could just have you introduce yourself and your witnesses, and we'll proceed from there. And, oh, by the way, members, on your ranking sheet, the individual bills are going to be on the back side of the sheet. The agency recommendations are on the front side of the sheet. So Representative Vandeveer's bill would be the fourth one down right now, and I don't think there was an agency request per se, so we're going to hear him out, and we'll just rank accordingly later today. So we got good, fresh information. You guys have great timing here coming in today, and good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would request that, thank you for moving my bill, and that you would also move, we do have an appropriation amount. We didn't have it when we put the bill in.
Yeah.
And that would be $150,000.
And the ranking sheet right now has question marks, so I'll have Mr. Shipman maybe just write him in on all of these while we're listening. And it's $150,000 that goes in the blank. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, members, this appropriation is for the request was brought to me by the Law Enforcement Memorial Association. As you know, there's a memorial for fallen officers on the Capitol grounds. There are some maintenance problems, such as the thin blue line light not working, and there's been some water issues with it, and this is intended to take care of those, and I do have witnesses that can discuss this a little bit further, and we'll start with the representative from the MPPOA.
Good morning. If you could introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bill Gillespie, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. I'll take you back very quickly through the history of this memorial. In the early 90s, our association was very much involved, along with the Law Enforcement Memorial Association, in creating and designing and constructing the law enforcement memorial down on the quadrangle where the folks that raised the dough and went down to, and there is no state money involved in the original construction of this. They did provide us with the land on the quadrangle. At the conclusion of the construction, we raised some $800,000 through corporate donations and through direct solicitation of our membership, the law enforcement officers of the state of Minnesota, and finally had to do some solicitation through our telemarketing company of the public itself. But we did raise the money to build this. We had a large gala in the early 90s, and we filled the Civic Center, and the people of the state of Minnesota and law enforcement officers came to it. We had a big send-off. We cleared the tables, folded up the chairs, went home, and the lights went out on the blue line. And it has been, since that time, a problem with the maintenance. We surrendered after the design and construction of the memorial. We surrendered that to, at that time, it was called the Capital Area Approach Board. I don't know what it's called now. But anyway, it was surrendered back to the state of Minnesota, and with the understanding that the state would maintain and would make certain any design changes were funded and were architecturally in congruence with the rest of the mall area. At the conclusion of that, we had the Attorney General sue the contractor on behalf of the state, and they collected $60,000 for faulty engineering. That money was turned over to the board. It was spent on attempts to try to rectify the problems, which have been identified as groundwater, and no one seems to know where this water comes from. It's either out of the reflecting pool that leaks, or it's the sprinkling system that's in the ground out on the Capitol Mall area, but in any way, it needs to be fixed. No one's ever been able to seem to fix the problem. We also have a problem with the thin blue line, which is supposedly a laser that originally was supposed to project a beam up into the air representing the law enforcement officers of the state of Minnesota. That function hasn't worked almost since the inception. We have made a number of attempts, Representative Vandeveer especially, is to be applauded through tax checkoff, through various ways of trying to raise money to do this. We haven't had a whole lot of luck. Is that fair to say?
That would be fair.
Okay. And so we're just coming here with our hands open. We have a memorial which the people of the state of Minnesota clearly are responsible for maintaining and which we built. And it's a memorial to the law enforcement, the fallen law enforcement officers of the state of Minnesota. So we're here basically with our hands, a direct appeal. We need $150,000 to finally fix the groundwater problem and be engineer correctly the thin blue line.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Mulway, did you have a question?
Yes,
Representative Vandeveer. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vandeveer, is there anything in this giving the St. Paul Police Federation the authority to change the design anytime they want, and each officer can come up and change it at different times, such as your other bill?
Representative Vandeveer.
Which Representative Mulway,
you took away the authority of the city to place the designated patches of the police where they want, where the city administration wants them, and let the police officers change that around. And I was wondering if you've got something in here like that.
Representative Mulley, Mr. Chair, not in this bill. We could add it if you'd like.
I was not the one in favor of it.
Representative Vandeveer.
The department also is here, and they've indicated that they support this, and I would ask if they'd come down and comment. They also believe that they have a plan to fix the, that'll work to fix the water problem. So.
Okay, someone from admin here that could testify, if you'd introduce yourself. Maybe talk about the blue line a little bit, too. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Bernie Steele, Department of Administration, Plant Management. I'm the facility supervisor, and I've been here since we inherited the police officer's memorial. There was, again, high hopes and promises made when the presentations were done on the thin blue line. We were given that, and it was in failure at the time. We've not been able to come up with a sure cure yet. We think we have another plan. Again, it's something that's not been done before. and been successful. So we have had it in our deferred maintenance list for years, but it's something that needs to happen. And we have some a leak in the underground system that will need to dig up some of the pavers and things to try to find the leak and repair the leak for the fountain. We do keep for special events, we try to keep it operable, but we do lose groundwater every time we do it. So it does need to be repaired. We're in support of trying to get something to make it work.
On the blue line issue, how much is that estimated to cost? I mean, is this just a light that comes out?
Yeah, it's not real simple. It was promised to be a thin blue line to be seen during the day and during the night. And the first product that was put in was a dark material that you couldn't see the light through, and there wasn't a way of getting light through it. Then they went to a clear material, pavers, glass blocks in essence, and that created so much heat and stuff that it was hard to keep a lamp in there. They do have some new technology now, and it's actually some local people that have it that we have tried it, have had some success with it, but it's not been 100% successful. We do think that there's a little more engineering that needs to be done.
And we're estimating this to be $150,000 to fix all this stuff?
That's what we thought, yes.
Okay. All right, do we have any other questions from members on this project? Okay, we'll be working on recommendations and voting them out today at 3:15, so good, fresh information. Representative Vandiver, do you have anyone else going to testify? I saw some officers here. But
Mr. Chair, we have three other people that have promised to be very quick. We know you're on a tight schedule. Mr. Gary Kale.
Morning.
Hi, I'm Gary Kale. I'm president of State Fraternal Order of Police from Minnesota here. I just want to state that we're totally in favor of this. It's a very important issue with our group. It comes up at all our board meetings. The officers know that the monument needs to have some repairs done, and they're willing to help as far as even looking for in-kind services. Just wanted to state that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And Larry Klink.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm Captain Larry Klink, the Milk County Sheriff's Office, retired. I'm treasurer of the Minnesota Law Enforcement Memorial Association. We're an association that has been in existence since 1974 and dedicated to the memories of officers who have died in the line of duty, as well as the officers who are serving our fine communities in the state of Minnesota. It's important to remember that police officers are the home line security for our nation. They are the heroes of our public safety, and it's important that we continue to memorialize them and have this memorial be there and dedicated to them for their efforts and for their ultimate sacrifice. I just wanted to thank you for your consideration for this, to be a part of this. I think that we built this memorial to assure them that we would never forget their sacrifice, and we only want to see that this memorial stays in a fashion that the state of Minnesota and the people of Minnesota want to show their respect. So I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And finally, Chief Pete Pitta from Lana Lakes.
Morning. Morning, Chair. Committee members, I'm Dave Peach, the Chief of Police in Lana Lakes, and also a Lima board member for the past approximately 10 years. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank you for hearing the bill. The memorial does represent those of us that are serving the great state of Minnesota, but also those that have given their lives in doing so. We unfortunately lost an officer September 6th of last year. And it's very important to us to make sure the memorial represents all that they've given for the great state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Vandeveer?
Mr. Chair, finally, I think that I know the officers are very grateful to the people of Minnesota for the memorial, and I think that people would want this maintained, and I think it's our responsibility to do that. So thank you for your consideration. Any further questions for me?
Thank you, members. Any more questions? Okay, thank you for your time, gentlemen. Thank you for your service, too. Representative Kahn, House File 2602, the Starbase Minnesota facility. If we have any witnesses for the facility, if you could come forward. Representative Kahn moves consideration of House File 2602 before the committee. Members, I believe this is under military affairs. And we did hear from Colonel Shields yesterday briefly that he does support this project, but certainly for a lot of us that don't know a lot of details about it, it's very helpful. We're going to try to keep each the next two presentations about 20 minutes apiece. Will that work?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I think we can go quite quickly on this.
Okay.
We do have a laptop presentation, PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
Should go pretty well. You have two items in your folder. One is a one-page handout that gives some of the basics of it, and the other one is a brochure that's been used for this program. And let me introduce the people who are with me. Former representative and former Speaker of the House, Tex Stevens, who, like me, is a member of the board, has a distinguished history with the National Guard. Joe Galamo, who's the chairman of the board, and Tim Van Wee, who's the executive director of the board. So I think
Morning.
We can go quite quickly.
Whoever would like to start, or
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Stevens,
members of the committee, and Representative Kahn, thanks for giving us this opportunity. As Phyllis Kahn told you, I'm a member of the Board of Directors, and Mr. Galamo is the chairman of the board. We'll go through the PowerPoint presentation. We'll try to tell you what Starbase Minnesota is, how it runs, where it comes from, what it does, and what we are proposing, both what we're requesting from this committee and what we are proposing for the future of Starbase Minnesota. Everybody got the slides up behind us there? Okay. It's a program started by the Department of Defense, by the United States Congress. It operates in all 50 states, or it doesn't operate in all 50 states. It's got 50 programs in most of the states in this country. Minnesota's program gets about $503,000 a year in federal dollars. The purpose of Starbase is to inspire kids, 4th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids, in their knowledge of skill, of science, mathematics, and technology. We've got a great instructor team, 7 full-time permanent employees at Starbase Minnesota, one of which is Kim Van Wee, the executive director, who's here, and 6 instructors. The slide behind me shows all 6 of them, I believe.
Every time I see this, I make a request that we get official Starbase subsidies to the board.
Those are reserved for the aviators and the Starbase instructors, I think. But when you see Minnesota or military members in those suits, they're almost always have an aviation-related function, a flight function. In my 36 years in the military, I was never allowed to wear one. So,
so you should join
Great. Well, do you want to join? Starbase Minnesota is a 501c3. It's a nonprofit corporation. It has a board of directors, as I mentioned. It's based at the Air National Guard base at Fort Snelling, right on the base at the 133rd Air Wing. As I mentioned, it comes out of the Department of Defense, so it's natural it would be on a military base. Most of the Starbase organizations around the country are on a military base, and that will probably continue to be the case. It has several key partners, Of course, the Minnesota National Guard is primary. The Department of Defense, which funds it almost entirely right now. Northwest Airlines, in spite of their financial problems, has been a great contributor, a great provider of talent to Starbase for speakers, and has been, of course, a wonderful place to take the children to see what they do on the Northwest Airlines side of the base, of the airport. Minneapolis St. Paul School Districts are partners, the East Metro Integration District, and I'd like to tell you how many kids attend. 2,500 a year currently. What we're talking about, what we are proposing, in keeping with the proposal that we have here today, but we anticipate getting an increase in funding from the Department of Defense from $503,000 a year to about $750,000 a year that will allow us to bring in about 40% more children. We deal with 2,500 kids a year, as I mentioned, grades 4, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 20-hour program, one-week program. It's free for the kids, free for the school districts. 80% are children of color, 67% are low-income kids, 32% have English as a second language. It deals with 230 teachers. These kids' teachers attend the program as well, and has over 200 volunteers. The next slide indicates what the students learn. I have a business and a political science background, and don't pretend to know some of these formulas, but people with a science background, such as Representative Kahn, know far more than I do about it, but it's intended, and it deals with educating kids on science and technology. The military needs it, American industry needs it, America needs more people with that background, with an interest in that background. That's probably why the United States Congress and the Department of Defense have gone in this direction with Starbase programs around the country. How do the students learn? They do experiments. They look at airplanes. They go to not only the museum, they look at a real C-130. They take tours in it. Helicopters land, and they talk to the crews of the helicopters. They do tests with, they design and build rockets and test fire the rockets. They learn the different parts on airplanes, ailerons and the rudders, and they can sit in the seat of an airplane, and they learn some of those principles about it, the principles of flight. How do we know if it's working? How to measure success? 78% average improvement rate on a pre-program test to a post-program test. 98% of the students said that Starbase makes learning this kind of stuff fun. 96% of the students said they'd like to come back. 90% of them say they have an increased interest in science, math, and technology. 48% of them report an interest in pursuing a career in the future that they learned about at Starbase. All of the teachers said they gained in their own knowledge and their skills. 98% of the teachers said Starbase is an excellent program. These are over 200 teachers that attend. 2% of them, the other 2% said it's a very good program. 100% of the teachers, every one of them, would like to return. Made progress. It's a program that is fun. Mr. Galimo and I are volunteer members of the board of directors. We've been on it for many, many years, along with other members of the board as well. And it's fun for us as well to see what happens. We're happy. We didn't propose this increase in Congress to expand Starbase programs around the country, but we're happy that they're talking about it so that we can attempt to expand this both in the core cities but also outside of the core cities. We are anticipating substantially increasing, a 40% increase in the number of students that we can serve. We're talking about doing it with 100% federal funds for the operating funds. As I mentioned, from our current budget of $503,000 to about $750,000, we anticipate all of that coming through the department, from the federal government, through the Department of Defense, in association with the Minnesota National Guard, and continuing and expanding the program at the airport at the Twin Cities, and busing the kids in as we do now. What we are here for today is because our physical plant will not allow the expansion that we are anticipating that the federal dollars will give us. So the physical plant we have at the air base will not allow the expansion. It's not unusual for Minnesota National Guard facilities to be built in part with federal dollars and with state dollars. You have a lot of experience with armories and other Minnesota National Guard facilities around Minnesota where the state of Minnesota has financially contributed. We are requesting a $150,000 bonding authority for pre-planning and planning and design features. We don't know with absolute certainty if that will be a completely new building on the campus at the 133rd Air Wing. What is more likely, it will be a substantial improvement in the existing building that we have. It's a Korean War era building that was originally designed to house missiles. It's got real thick walls, real solid construction that is somewhat bomb-proof. Hard to change the walls and all that stuff. So it's probably, we're told by the base engineers, that it's more expensive than remodeling most buildings that you would be dealing with. But we're told that $150,000 can get the design off the floor, and we can get on with it. It'll probably be about a $1 million construction project, either both with new construction on the building and remodeling the existing building after this $150,000 appropriation for design. We anticipate we will try to raise money from the community. We on the board of directors are all volunteers, not compensated 10 cents for it, but we believe in this program, and we have many believers in the community in it now, and we will very much attempt to get private funding for the construction of it. It's unknown whether the federal government will participate in the future on the physical plant. As I mentioned, this is all part of what we believe will be 100% federal funding for the program. That's what we're here for. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Representative Kahn.
Okay. I think we'll just have people available for questions. I know you want to get on with the rest of the
Sure. Representative Mullery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, Mr. Speaker, I see you chose an author who is known as one of the most right-wing conservative militaristic people here. I do have I'm trying to figure out when
that's
during the
McCollum said too when we appear in her office.
When do they have the children out to this location? I'm trying to figure that out. Is it during the school year for a week at a time? Is it in the summer?
And the summer programs as well.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned about the summer because I know the normal Minneapolis schools usually don't allow kids to go on something outside the schools because they're so intense on the classes, and I noticed that the only one I think on the north side was a kind of an alternative, if I remember right, and it's not getting at, I know that I know the schools, and the ones that are that handle the most, let's say, economically challenged and people of color are not generally at those. There's some at those schools, but you're missing a whole lot of kids that might go if you had some other way of getting at them than that type of.
I'll let Kim answer, but I will point out that Franklin Middle School, which is a regular school on the, you know, in Representative Ellison's district, is one of the North Side schools. There's a large number of St. Paul schools, and there is some, but Kim can talk. One of the exciting things that I've heard, there's some big teacher surveys that you can look at. Some of the teachers have said with the cutting down, for example, approach, some of the teachers have said this is the only science, this week is the only science that their kids get in the entire year. But Kim, why don't you say something about
that? Oh, thank you. That's a great question, and it's definitely year-round programs. We've been working for the last 7 years with, in particular in the summer, with St. Paul Public School summer school program. The students are in summer school because of academic issues, and they come to Starbase because it's so hands-on, interactive, and it excites kids about learning. So St. Paul Schools considers the Starbase program the student science and math in the summer. It really strengthens what they're trying to do in summer school. So we're an integral part of the structure for St. Paul Schools in the summer, serving 300 kids that are in summer school. And they file in and file out for a week at a time through the length of summer school. We have a waiting list of schools without even trying. The schools that we serve, we like to stay with these schools so that we're at complete maximum capacity without even advertising, without even marketing. It's word of mouth. And we are at a waiting list. We'd be serving more Minneapolis schools if we could grow, which is why we're here, and more St. Paul schools. But we're serving 32 schools right now, and you know, we have a waiting list of at least easily 15, 20 schools without even trying.
Is this something you've gone to represent Con, where you during the sessions or help volunteered?
I would urge anyone to. When you see the confidence of these instructors, you don't really want to get too involved. But I
you have a PhD in like biophysics, Representative Con.
That's the comment my husband always makes when I've done something at the wrong temperature and ruined a load of laundry. So you have a PhD in a technical subject, why can't you run a washing machine? I've gone and been, you know, participated in judging a rocket making program, for example, where the kids make rockets and fire them, and then they have to, then you're a referee of the program, and they have to show what decisions they made and what and how they work economic decisions and their scientific decisions and design their rockets and sort the parts and those kinds of things. They're very welcome to have visitors come at any time. And it's, you know, and so I've seen some of the classes.
Might be, do you run these programs in the spring as well, like in April and May?
They're year-round programs. Okay. We serve the fourth grade in the fall, and then we switch to sixth grade in the winter because it's an indoor program. Back to fourth grade in the spring. Now we do the seventh and eighth in the summer. And as Representative Khan said, these schools have depended on Starbase for their science. Sadly, right now, when they have a science specialist in the school, that means students have to wait for 6, 8, 12 weeks to get science. So Starbase, because it's all standards-based, it's aligned with state and national standards in science, math, and technology, they consider this integral to their strategic planning in school for their school improvement plans in science and math.
I was just thinking, you know, my hope is this committee is going to be wrapped up by early April. I think that might be good for the committee, since you're under the Department of Defense, to have us take a little trip. It's not very far away. And sometime in April, maybe we, Mr. Shipman, make a little note that we might want to, committee might want to take a trip down there.
Do
we get the jumpsuits?
You come out, we'll figure out a way to get to a jumpsuit.
Got to join the military.
I think it'd be helpful. I know a lot of students that they have very little exposure to hands-on science, math, the Department of Defense, a lot of these things at that age.
You should the textbook that they use, which somewhere in my office I've got a copy of them, but those are just absolutely outstanding. The workbooks and the textbooks and those, all designed by our staff.
Wonderful. Representative Muller, you had another question.
Mr. Chairman, I just like to point out, I think that may be fine that you like to deal with the schools you've worked with, but especially when you're connected to the government, I think that you should be targeting a way to get at. There's some areas of middle north side and certain areas on the south side that are more needy than any place other than maybe Red Lake Reservation in the state, and I think it's about time you start doing your duty, which is to figure out a way to get to them too.
That's why we're here. Mr. Chairman, I think the problem is, Joe, if you look at this, the complexity of getting the time off, the school off, getting the bus service, I mean, it's not like just a field trip for a day. So I think I fully, and plus the fact it's very important to have the fourth grade continue to the sixth grade. I've talked to students who said they couldn't wait to get to sixth grade to get back to Starbucks, you know, that the remembrance of that 1 week in fourth grade.
So this is all. This is an all day. They're bused in the morning. They're there all day, and then that's every day for a week.
Right.
Okay. So that's
with their teachers.
With the teachers there, learning what the kids basically.
Right.
And the teachers have the option of just hanging out.
Well, the teacher, no, actually the teacher, no, there is no coffee clutching at surveys.
That's to say that they never do.
No, actually we have high expectations for the teachers, and more importantly too, this is not even remotely a field trip, that's the thing. It's very intensive academic. The teachers have pre-surveys lessons, and then when they're done with Starbase after the 5 days, there's post-Starbase lessons that go on and on and on. So they integrate into several disciplinary areas back at school, and we measure that as well.
And it's more so for science than math, or is it a little of
both? It's just a complete integration. It's the physical science concepts associated with flight and space exploration, and you can't do an experiment without doing math. So it's a true integration, something the districts have been trying to get at, doing not independent math and independent science. They're trying to get at the integration of the two. Add to this, thankfully, because of the Department of Defense, we have some incredible technology at Starbase. So we can integrate all three concepts in one simple experiment. And so the whole week is filled with experiments. We don't do activities. And that's fluff. It's true experiments where the kids are acting like scientists throughout the week and see themselves as scientists, oftentimes for the first time. We work with quite a few of the North Minneapolis schools as well, and they're suffering a little bit with their budget cuts to provide transportation, but they were always opening the doors to more and more schools, especially the more economically challenged schools as well. We like to have a variety.
So my last question is, how many students would you have there if we came and visited on say a Thursday or something in April? Would you have 30 kids there, or would you have 300 kids?
We would have 60 to 90 there. Now, April is, we'll have to definitely look at the calendar because of the statewide testing that goes on in April. The NCAAs, that wipes out a lot of days. So rather than not serve kids, we're bringing students from the parochial schools in April.
Okay, thank you. Could we get, do you have a card with you?
Yeah, and I think, do you have a brochure in your packet? The number's right on there, too, and that's my number.
Okay, so we'll, if Mr. Shipman will be in contact with you, and I think the members are interested in doing, we usually do one trip. Last year was to the state auction site. This is hopefully being better than that.
Great.
Looking at auctioning off surplus vehicles and things, so I think that'll be a good field trip for us. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members are ready.
Thank you. Members, our last bill is House Bill 3508. Representative Tao, I know you've been waiting patiently. We're right on schedule. We're going to try to keep it to about 20 minutes because I'd like to meet with the DFL members during our committee time at the end for about 15 minutes to talk about our ranking of projects. The chair will move House File 3508 for consideration before the committee. Representative Tall, I'm not sure if you were here this morning or you mentioned it, but the Capital Investment Committee needs the recommendations by tomorrow, and so we're going to have to kind of move our schedule up and hand the ranking sheets out. So I'll be visiting with the DFL members after your presentation about how we're going to handle. We have one bill that's up next week, how we're going to handle that without hearing it. So good time to lobby, because we're going to try to get all of our recs back in by 12:30 today, and then we're going to reconvene at 3:15 today to actually pass the recommendations out. So good morning.
Good morning.
And if you could introduce yourselves for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Tao. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for the opportunity to hear this bill. Essentially, this is asking for $150,000, which is half of what it will cost to build the Hmong Veteran Memorial here at the Capitol. It will honor the Hmong veterans and other minorities in Laos who had a big part in helping America during the Vietnam War. It will also honor those American soldiers who were known as CIA operatives in Laos as well. Here with me are four gentlemen. They were captains, lieutenants, colonels, and they were in charge of 1,200 men up to several thousand. So in their glory days, today they reside here in the Twin Cities area.
I think it's coming this morning.
What I just passed out is the information sheet about the lead organization that will be handling and responsible for raising the rest of the money. It was newly formed. SGU means a Special Guerrilla Unit. Essentially, the CIA came in and organized these groups to help out with the navies and the Air Force, and Mr. Savang here will explain the role of these veterans a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My comrade and I come here on behalf of the entire Laotian American CIA foot soldier, not only the Hmong, but all the Laotian who serve on their effort. This morning, General Rang Pao cannot make it because he is ill. We are here on his behalf and on behalf of the entire American foot soldier in Laos. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy asked our kings in Saravatana come to Washington, D.C. and talk about the idea how could they reduce the tragedy in South Vietnam, because the communist Vietnamese traveled through Laos Ho Chi Minh trail, and by that time the king agreed to help, and then the king assigned and authorized General Wang Pao to recruit Laotian, Hmong, Yao Lu, other ethnic minority to serve on the American CIA foot soldier, and we scout information. We got the American radar that navigate the B-52 F-16 bomb the enemy territory, and if any American fighting or transport aircraft got shot down, we have to go rescue those pilots. And our mission was very important to the American. We fought on American's behalf because Laos during that time was in neutral policy that foreigners cannot send troops into Laos. So we were recruited to serve on Americans' behalf in Laos. So today, thousands of us are in the United States, and these people deserve to have statues to remember their effort, and also we have to provide them service so they can become good, productive American citizens. The SU is trying hard to work with other MAA to make sure that our people here is well educated and we can catch up with the American dream in this country. So we wish the committee bring our request to the full House to approve that $150,000, and we will raise others from foundation, our own members, to help out on this effort. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, let me add a couple of things. I think during the Vietnam War, a little over 40,000 Americans' lives were lost. For our cause, 30,000, 35,000 Hmong lives were lost. These were just soldiers. Many more human, regular citizen casualties are even higher. At the same time, I think it's appropriate that Minnesota take this step. There's already been memorials in Fresno, California, and Wisconsin as well. With Minnesota being the sort of the center of the Hmong universe in the Western Hemisphere, we have the highest population of Hmong in the Western Hemisphere here in the Twin Cities area. I think it's appropriate that we take this step forward.
Thank you. Members, do we have questions? Representative Mullery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, that just raised one. I thought California still had more. Do we have more now? Or?
Well, we have more in concentration, in one concentration area. California has it's spread throughout.
Statewide, they've still got more, don't they?
A little bit.
Okay.
You don't need to split hair.
No. I just...
Right.
My concern is that we are calling it for the commemorating Hmong veterans, and I was just, for instance, over at the Lao Cultural Center a couple of weeks ago with their Lao Vietnam War veterans, and they're quite upset about not getting any recognition. For instance, the Hmong veterans got special citizenship rights. The Lao veterans that were doing the same thing didn't. There's probably, and I don't know, you would know more about the facts, but I know there were some Cambodians involved with these types of operations. There were some, I believe, Vietnamese, and I don't know all the other facts as far as those, but I guess to call it a Hmong memorial is going to further create alienation within our communities here, and I'm concerned about that.
Your Honor, the SU veteran represent everybody: Laotian, Khmer, Yao, Lu, Hmong. Because during the war time, all of the minority are the people who fought harder than the lowland Lao. But this not exclude the lowland Lao. Include everybody.
Representative Tao, do you have
sure.
Is there a wording here that would make people more comfortable, or does this more all-encompassing of everyone?
Sure. Let me, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mullery. Laos, before the end of the war, had over 50 different ethnic minority, and everyone in there essentially had their own language, practice, cultural background. If we were to pick one group of people who suffered the most, the Hmong were probably less than 10% of the population, and we probably suffered the most during this war. With that being said, at the same time, the Hmong veterans group came to me and asked that I carry this for them. We have not decide to exclude anyone else. Like Mr. Saad just said, it will be inclusive, the memorial will be inclusive of everybody. The, I think, pretty much, yeah.
Representative Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, and Representative Tao, I'm not questioning that the Hmong probably suffered more. They're also, I'm quite aware, politically very more active and coordinated than the other groups. So they have been effective here, and I think that we're going to need some, at least for me, I'm going to need some kind of a more inclusive name for this memorial, I think, so that we are recognizing the other people. And I've got one further question. You mentioned the Americans in Laos. Now, this is also going to recognize the contributions of America. I guess I'm
sure.
A good friend of mine was a, he went behind the lines with double agents, and he was in these, unfortunately, he was killed in the 9/11 Twin Towers, but he used to do that. You mean this would also apply to people like that?
Mr. Chair.
I didn't get that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I apologize for not bringing the draft of the memorial. A large part of it will be scripted out to help explain the role and what happened in Laos, and how the American soldiers and the Hmong soldiers were involved. So that is a big part of it on a granite wall. There will be four figures. One of them will be an American soldier, and the other three will be Hmong and Lao soldiers.
Representative Khan.
Mr. Chairman, I think what we're looking for is looking at this bill, we're looking for another word than Hmong in the bill. Your witness said something about what the name of the agency was or something, so I think if you just give us another word, I think that will help.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm willing to work with my two friends from my side of the aisle to come up with a word.
You guys, those are the ones who have the votes. You better vote for them.
To come up with language that they will be satisfied.
Okay, good.
I was going to do whatever General Powell wants because he's a Republican. he's the ultimate. Is he doing okay? Or
yeah, he's doing okay. He just come back from Wisconsin very late last night, so
okay.
He cannot come to this testimony.
Very good. Is it to this point?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I have Representative DeLaForest too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question maybe for Mr. Shepard for process here, since we haven't seen any drawings or anything here today. Refresh my memory. Who's going to be the final approving authority for the actual design or where the memorial would be located, et cetera? Who's got that oversight responsibility?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe there's a process through the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board to approve the design and location of memorials in the capital area.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman and Mr. Shepard, would it be the CAP board then that would be the final approving authority for the memorial specifications and everything else?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative DeLaForest, yes, I believe that would be the case. I can check into that further.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, my point was what Chris made, but my question is, should the bill then say to the CAP area board instead of the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tao.
Representative Solberg. This is just the funding part. There is a piece that already states that has to go through the board.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I understand it. Is this just to get the design, because we said design and construct, and it seems to me that that's not much of, I mean, I thought the memorials were much more expensive than $150,000.
This, Mr. Chair, Representative Colbert, this is half of...
Well, even at $300,000, Mr. Chair, Is it just a granite wall as a or there's no stone?
I Mr. Chair, Representative Sober, we did the estimation of it. It will come to close to $300,000, because it is a small.
Okay, small memorial. Yeah. You can buy a 5-bedroom house in Marshall with a 3-car garage for $300,000. I would hope they could do a small memorial for that, but in government we always think everything has to be expensive.
Yeah, it is much smaller. We could go bigger if the committee would like.
Mr. Chairman, should it be to the CAP area board as opposed to the veterans?
Ms. Roberts, do you want to handle that one?
Mr. Chair, Representative Silver, I was thinking of the World War II Memorial. The appropriation in that case was also to the Department of Veterans Affairs, but the CAP, they work hand-in-hand with the CAP board on the design of memorials and their construction.
Very good.
For the purposes of this afternoon, if the committee recommends the amount, can we work the language out kind of on the side? Rather than having an addendum that says, oh, by the way, change this word or something. I think the main thing is we want to have the funding recommended. And Representative Magnus did try, he's a Vietnam veteran, did want me to put a word in that he's very supportive of this as well. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to closing with a statement. We are here to live, not to visit. America is our home. And if we have the memorial, if we have the service, our people will have more pride and dignity to serve this country. And now we have 2,400 Hmong and Laotian soldiers who serve on Iraq and Afghanistan right now. Thank you.
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tao, if you can't come up with a good name by this afternoon that's acceptable to us, I'll ask Senator Skoglund if he has any ideas.
I recommend the committee not take that recommendation.
Tao versus Skoglund, I'm with Tao. Okay. Do we have any other questions in terms of projects? Members, for those of you who came in late, we do have an impetus to get finished with this today. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, and the bonding committee needs the recommendations by tomorrow afternoon. We're faced with, Mr. Shipman's going to pass out the list that we wanted to get to you no later than now, so we're going to get those out. It's a front and back-sided sheet. There's the recommendation from agency governor, and then we have the I'll let them get handed out before we'll go over this together. There's a governor's rec, the difference between the governor and the agency, and then the next column says member rec, and that is the one where we would want you to put, if you'll turn to the back side, it has a little code below there that one would be a positive recommendation, a two would be a neutral recommendation, and a three would be a negative recommendation. And we just put a thing from the House rules that if we do have people giving negative recommendations and we have enough committee members that have threes next to a project, then a project would fall into the negative recommendation and therefore would not be able to go into the bonding bill. So what we would like to do is send Representative Dorman a list. And we're basically going to take every committee member gets a vote. There's nothing special about being a Democrat or Republican here. So everybody gets to fill out the ranking according to how they feel. Mr. Shipman's going to go over the recommendations with me between now and 3:15. Preferably, we'll try to get these back by noon or 12:30, and collate everything. And then we're just going to put them in order. One being the one that got the most ones, and then the bottom one being the one that got the most threes. So if all 10 of us decide that something gets threes, it's going to be in the negative recommendation. Our cutoff is going to be that 5 to 6 level where things would fall between 2 and 3. Representative Solberg.
Do you want us to only rate the GO bond?
Actually, we would like you to rank everything. The bonding bill may carry some general fund, but we're not exactly sure about that right now. Ms. Roberts, you know how that usually works? Do we rank general fund stuff in the past, or does it just fall to the wayside?
Mr. Chair, it's really up to the committee how you want to do it. There will be a a target, a general fund target for the bonding bill, but the capital investment committee will work it out.
The other piece is we did have some questions on things like CAPRA yesterday, that if you would like a reduced appropriation because they had some money left, they think that wasn't expended from last time, if you think they should, if someone deserves less money, you know, 3.2 or whatever, in your notes on the far right, if you could just write in the blank, if you feel that you need to say, you know, among memorial needs, different name or whatever, or reduced appropriations, make sure that you just put that in the notes, and then we're going to kind of collect those and collate that as well. Representative Solberg.
Yesterday, in the testimony we had on from the Department of Administration, there was like, if I recall right, they gave us some numbers like $2 million or something for relocation of the Senate, rental and relocation of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, it was like $2.4 million or something. Could we somehow or another recommend that that money be not used for relocating the Senate in the East Wing, but be put into the Ford building?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be under the notes, is we'd recommend under notes, and if we have a lot of, there's the administrative hearings. Do you want to go over that? Helen, do you want to talk about the administrative hearings? That's an issue that we're going to be hearing next week, but we have to move on the recommendations today, so could you just go through that so members understand that? That would be like the fifth and sixth item down.
Mr. Chair, this is a piece of an agency request from the Department of Administration that ultimately was not recommended by the governor in his recommendations, but the Department of Administration had recommended moving the Office of Administrative Hearings from downtown Minneapolis into some surplus space in the Department of Revenue building. They have extra space as they've moved away from their paper-based processing to more electronic systems, and in order to make that move happen, there would have to be some upfront move and build out costs because the office needs to have certain kind of space, including hearing rooms, that are not currently in that building. If that happened over time, the agency would have savings of its estimated $423,000 mm-hmm. per year in their budget because of they would be charged a lower rent in the revenue building than they are in the private that they're in now.
So that's the hearings relocation is how we would have to rank that. Do you think it's worth, my understanding is that 40 administrative law judges, they need 15 hearing rooms, and that would be enough to retrofit it in a building we already own rather than being in Minneapolis and leasing out at a fairly expensive rate. Representative Kahn.
I thought the payoff was like $4.5 million compared to the $3.6 million expense. Maybe that's over some time.
It was over 10 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Representative, kind of believe that would be over time.
Oh, okay.
But I can sit down and train.
Okay.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, I think one of the issues is that their lease is up within a
year.
They have to give a notification.
Yeah.
Right.
And it seemed to me that the landlord was not willing to really negotiate a very favorable lease. It was some pretty expensive space.
Representative DeLaForest.
Yeah, Representative Solberg has shed some light. It's pretty high buck lease space, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how others feel about this, and we haven't had a hearing, but I certainly, Mr. Chairman, commend Judge Krause for coming down here and investing his time to make us aware of this and trying to be a good employee and a public steward of dollars and let us know that there's a situation here where we can save some money instead of just sort of keeping his mouth shut and continuing to occupy the digs that they've got in Minneapolis. I think that it's a worthwhile project, in my opinion.
And we have to talk about Representative Ellison's bill. He couldn't come in. He had to test fires for next week, and we have to figure out what we're going to do with that before we leave to Representative Mullery.
Well, Mr. Chairman, before we go to that, I would agree that building is extremely expensive, but originally they got in a really good deal because they left. They were in the flower exchange over there, which and went to this really high buck building, but they got such a good deal. And what I'm wondering is this $450,000 saved per year, is that under the the new lease rates that they would be facing, or is that even under the present lease? It would seem to me like it, we would save that much by going to our own building under the present lease rates. If they're going to go up to market rates over there, I would guess it's going to be a lot more than that. But could we get those figures somehow quickly? And also how long a renewal of that lease would be for, and what we could get that for how many years, because this all figures into the cost of switching.
Mr. Chair, Mallory, I believe that the $423,000 savings is against what they're currently paying, and they are currently in ready to go into renegotiation.
Okay, if we save that much by the present, and if they're going to bump them up, maybe you can find out on a quick call to Krauss or somebody if they're facing anything like market in that building, because if it's anything like that, it's going to be
it'll
way
be worse.
Over that.
Representative Hilty, did you have something on this point?
I was going to say essentially what Representative Solberg did. My understanding is that this is some of the most expensive space that anyone in state government is renting anywhere. And I agree with everything that's been said, that it certainly makes sense to act on this, particularly since the renewal was looming and something has to be done or they're going to be committed to that space.
My understanding from Judge Krauss is that the 3.6 is actually a high-end estimate because they whipped it together so quick. So it might actually be a more reasonable price than
Chairman,
that.
As well, I mean, Representative Mallory makes a good point. I mean, I think the lease rates in the future are bound to go up, and who knows by how much. But I think what we're speculating here is on the savings. But I think we realize we are going to realize savings for sure.
Right. Just how much?
It's just a matter of how much.
Well, and Mr. Chair, also we've expressed concern in the past about the underutilization of a revenue building, and I think that
subsidized
we ought not to forget that.
It makes a lot of sense. Representative Solberg.
Sure, this makes sense, but let me ask a question. That is, should it be general obligation bonds, or should it be a bond that is
revenue bond
paid for by the operation itself? As we're doing it for with their savings, as we're doing with the Freeman building and the Stassen building or the other buildings,
leased to themselves.
They're leasing it from the Port Authority. So, I mean,
this is weird because it's space
well,
in the building.
Well, I know it is.
It's a little weird to think about this at this point.
Would be someone that could answer that. Would that be John Walls, maybe, that could figure that out?
Of course.
Well,
the reason I asked that question is because, you know, there's going to be all kinds of pressure in the bonding committee for
projects.
This
is nobody's favorite project.
It's not in the governor's recommendation. If the House target is less than the governor, then, you know, what are you going to do then? You know,
This is 30 Hmong veteran memorials. I mean, you have a lot of projects out for $3 million, and were you chair bonding at one time?
No.
You know how this works. I mean, members come and nobody's going to come and say this is my favorite. I'm voting for the bonding bill because of the.
But it's
the right thing to do.
But it's the right thing to do, and we should do it without any question. I'm just asking if, since the agency itself is saving the money. Should they then, you know, will their budget be reduced, or would they be indeed, could we redirect that savings to pay for the bonds? And I know it's weird, but that's what we're doing with the Agriculture Department. And
I guess our main thing is we're going to recommend it as a committee. I'm sensing a consensus. It's just in the notes we're going to probably maybe put, can some people write in their notes that, you know, figure out financing or something. And we'll have, I'll have a conversation with Representative Dorman next week about it.
Physical faith.
If members want to turn to the backs, the fourth item down on your front page, the long range commuting plan was withdrawn. That was a general fund item, so that would be crossed out. So you don't have to worry about that. Members should cross out long-range commuting plan. That's a general fund item. Yep.
I have a question.
And I know Representative Ellison isn't here, but we had Paul Erickson said this is that the volleyball center was the only request of. So where does this Ellison one come in?
Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, I think what Paul Erickson was saying is that the volleyball center is the only project that had been formally approved by the Amateur Sports Commission. This, I have some information on the track if you'd like it that I can provide to members, but my understanding is that the National Sports Center, not the Amateur Sports Commission, had raised this issue, and they've actually been trying to seek some funding privately also to do the track renovation.
Sports Commission.
They have not taken action to approve this project.
And this is the only bill that we have not heard other than the Loeffler bill, and I'm nervous about you know, having this blackballed because we didn't give them a chance to have a hearing, but if we have to get this done, I was thinking about maybe just putting it down at the bottom of the neutral list so he stays alive and can maybe plead his case to Representative Dorman later. I'm just trying to think of it. This is what I really wanted to talk to the DFL members about, so... Really, I know that we need to meet. We're kind of have. There's not a lot of people here. We can just kind of have the discussion at this point. But, you know, what do we do when a member couldn't get his people here, and that's not his fault, but we just ran out of time.
But what bothered me, the only thing that struck me on that was that Erickson saying that the other one was the only one.
Priority.
So,
right.
All right.
And, Mr. Chair, just a question is,
okay.
Is Diane off for carrying the board for building renovation and
yeah, she's
the report?
The jackets are being submitted today, I think.
And what is the number there? Do we know?
Helen or Mark, do you know what the number is for the Loeffler renovation? Or is it a blank that she had to draft it as a blank? And we're supposed to fill in the number.
Is it the $10 million for the whole thing?
Mr. Chair and members, I think that at the time that Representative Loeffler was drafting her bill, I don't think she'd gotten the revised numbers that the committee heard yesterday from the CAP board on the capital, the East Wing renovation, the 6.1 number. So I'm not sure her bill, I can't speak for her, but I don't know that the numbers in her bill are going to reflect her current thinking.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason I say that is because I think that we need to start phasing, if nothing else, phase one of that bill.
Yeah.
You know, whichever to stabilize the building.
So, since we have this, and then Representative Pepin has a question. The Loeffler bill on page 2 has a question mark. So, Helen, could you give us a placeholder number to throw in there? And
Mr. Chair, members, the range that we were given by Department of Administration for the Ford building renovation was between $10 and $13 million. That would be
full Monty. Right.
That would be just to get the building ready to service swing space for the senators, and I believe the difference is whether or not they would cubicles for the senators versus walled offices.
Oh, yes. Both then.
So do we want to put in a 10 as a placeholder and send it to Dorman and let him worry about it?
Put them in a bigger room like they used to do in the house.
The house members, they used to do that, and that's what we did in Mechanics Art.
Just put you all.
You know, just a room with kids' desks, I think.
That was when you and Berglund had all your desks full of papers.
No, that was the first year. That was the only room.
The other building. Lynn Carlson had his desk all clean. let's see. Representative Pepin had a question on the front page, just in a couple refresher memory on the Capra. Okay. Helen, can you just give us a quick overview on the admin? DOT exterior was Trunk Highway. $10 million for it's just like last year.
Capra is the statewide fund that's used for emergency repair,
but we went down
abatement project.
Did they have a leftover amount that wasn't expended last time?
I don't recall their testimony. If they do, the appropriation for Capra is not made for specific projects, so they're allowed to continue to use that for other projects. The asset preservation is specific to those projects or to those buildings that are controlled by the Department of Administration, and they're the known asset preservation projects.
And that's general fund?
There's a piece of this. The majority of it is geo bonds, the $5.9 million. And then there's a piece of it that is general fund money for agency relocation. That's a known relocation cost for the abatement project at the Department of Administration building. There's an asbestos abatement going on in that building, and they'll have to be moving people in and out of it. So, and that those costs are general fund, but the majority of the asset preservation is bonding.
Is the asset preservation the work of the Centennial?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, there's several projects that they talked about. It was including the History Center, the south side of the Capitol, the public entrance, the air handlers at the Centennial Building, the asbestos abatement project at Admin, and the fire alarm system at the governor's office, the freight and revisers elevators in the state office building, and then also the steps of the state office building on the east side. So those are all projects that have been identified as priority projects for the Asset Preservation Fund.
The Stassen Freeman Tunnel we never heard about. That wasn't recommended by the governor, so that could be a...
Right.
Well, they want a tunnel over between the Stassen and Freeman building, basically, but they didn't advocate for it, so...
Is that underneath the freeway? Or are they on the same side of the freeway?
Under Robert Street?
Right, it's on the same side of the
freeway.
And then the new state building, new SOB? That wasn't talked about either, I believe, so I think that's a three, but however you want to do it, if you think we need one. Yep. Anybody have questions under the cap board for the capital? Why is there a zero at the end? It's just got a six. Under members' recs, there's a zero. Yeah, Bob, was that an accident? Or
no, that's just adding that those formulas are already in on that column. That's summing.
Oh, okay, I see. It's got to be. So for the Capitol Building members, your ranking would be under the top part where it says Capitol Building : interior renovation. So if you like the Capitol Building, that's the 6.1.
So is that starting the east wing?
Where's that one?
It's under capital area architectural, so you put your rank down toward the summary is at the bottom with the zero, but you put your ranking up after the 6.1 under the second line under capital area architectural and planning board.
The first one.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The lease savings is general fund, that $250,000, so, and we wouldn't rank that really, I don't think. This is something that happens, right?
But doesn't that 6.1 have the relocation in it, too?
Yes. Going back to the cap, where the 6.1 is the most recent numbers that we received from the cap board, and that included almost $3 million in relocation costs. That's the best number we have now. I know the committee did give instruction to the cap board and to the Department of Administration to get together and work out some new numbers on this.
So, for example, in this biennium, if we're doing the dome and we're not doing the Senate, it seems to me the relocation ought to go way down. I mean, what do you have to... There's nothing...
Or the dome in the east.
Or is there anyone...
Not where they were starting?
Yeah, the other question would be, you could use the relocation monies to start...
The Ford
building.
Yeah.
And
but is this 6.1, is that just the dome?
No.
It's the wing, I think, too.
Where's the dome?
The dome was 1.3, I think.
Correct.
So it's in there?
Part of the 6.1.
Mr. Chair,
if we do the dome...
Will Ms. Roberts clarify? Is the dome part of the 6.1?
Yes. Mr. Chair, yes. The 6.1 includes $1.8 million for the east wing design, $2.9 million for move and swing space preparation, and then $1.4 million for dome repairs and restoration.
Any other questions, members, on this? Okay, the ranking sheets are going to be due by the end of session today. I'm sorry about the timing on this, but Norman's going to really need...
How much was the dome?
1.3.
East wing?
1.4.
What was the east wing?
1.8.
On member bills on the backside for Loeffler, we're going to say it costs $10 million, and we'll kind of put an addendum to Dorman to figure this out as time goes on. When they come back to us, we'll probably have a hearing next week, and then I'll talk with Representative Dorman about that. Would it be fair to say that we should at least give Representative Ellison a neutral because we just kind of are caught in a hamstring here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to treat him fairly.
Agreement to put it neutral in the last of the neutrals if we're doing ranking priority.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the problem is the fact is it's not recommended by the group even. That's just...
Not by the sports... Not even the Sports Center Board of Directors. The Sports Commission.
Well, you're from Minneapolis, so you talk to your friend and...
Well, we'll talk to him, but the point is, this isn't Blaine. This isn't Blaine. And the, I just think...
Our people can't afford to drive to
Blaine. I'm
sure.
Almost ready to go to a 3, but we'll... we should talk 2. To him 9. And say...
Does anyone else have questions on anything?
I think it's going to have a hard enough row to hoe if we just put it neutral without some other category.
neutral minus.
Yeah.
Do we need to? We're planning on reconvening at 3:15. I'll make an announcement on the floor. Is there? Do members feel comfortable that we'll just collate and compile everybody's numbers and just let the chips fall down? And the chair's recommendations are basically going to be along those lines. We'll try to collate it, and then members will have the option of moving the list around when we meet. Hurt feelings either way if someone wants to move something above. But I'll just use a value judgment as things come in, that if everybody puts a 1 down, I'm assuming, but we might have 5 projects that all have 1s, and then I'm just going to use my value judgment after that. And then you can move things around by motion. At 3:15, yep. But we get along here, so.
Yeah, but the
that was the main thing. The other main thing I wanted to talk to you about.
You guys aren't. I just pointed out. You're not. I thought our highest point of deliberation last year was only blackball to the volleyball center, but you guys aren't in the mood to do that this year, is that?
No. I think.
What? Oh, okay.
Lauren had a point last year that, we should maybe give it some neutral just to let it have air. Otherwise it can't be in the bonding bill to let it breathe. But
that, that was the thing that did that change in the rule, was that when our committee had taken it down and Bishop was just put it back in. So that, we had just said nothing except negative on it. But I don't think... I think the city of Rochester can let themselves in for a Title IX fight, too, if they're funding all those football stadiums and they won't, suddenly they can't do volleyball. So I think my position is that it should be done, but it should have the same cost sharing that the previous one did.
Okay. You can put that on as a note, and then if other people put that down, we'll...
So can I put 3 with a note?
Whatever you want to do, I'll hide it. Yeah.
Okay.
But those were that was the main points I was going to talk to the DFL members about, so we don't need to meet separately.
Can you give me a little bit of information on the asset preservations of the military affairs? And the difference between that and the American with Disability Act? Was the asset preservation the one that we visited down in, was that down in Red Wing?
Does only Pepin have a richer district in Rochester?
Ms. Roberts?
I think, Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, the Department of Military Affairs has an inventory of all of the projects that they need. That's what they presented in the green book that they gave to us. That included both asset preservation projects and American with Disability Act projects. If you look at, if you still have that book and you look, you'll see that for each facility, they're coded depending on which category they fit into for those requests.
The due time we're going to have for these would be 12:30 today. Mr. Shipman will try to be around, but if he's not, just stop by his office and slide it under his door. You do not have to put your name on it. It's like third grade or something. Put your head on your desk and raise your hand. But, however you want to do it. If you want to put your name on, you certainly can, but you don't have to. If we have more than 10, then we've got a problem. I don't want this to be like Florida, so please don't fill out more than one sheet and try to sneak in. Phyllis will have, you know, threes on the volleyball center five times.
I can't remember.
But we'll look forward to having 10. And Mr. Shipman will follow up with Representative Krenke, who is not able to make it today, but the nine of us were here.
Really highly negative. Catherine Harris is in real trouble.
I think she's with a group in the plenary, actually.
Oh, she did
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? We're due at 12:30. Mr. Shipman will take it, and then we'll collate it after that. We'll be back here at 3:15 today, and I'll make an announcement on the floor. Meeting adjourned.